Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Sunday, May 8th, Mother's Day, and we are back talking about Captain America Civil War. I am your host, Yolanda, and I'm here with my co-host, Elise.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, and we're coming at you live from Los Angeles. Let's get into this, because there is, I think, a lot to discuss. Elise, you want to start us off with a summary of what it is that we saw, please?
Sure, yeah. So this is the third Captain America movie. They brought back Anthony and Joe Russo, who did Winter Soldier, and they brought back the same writers, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who also did Winter Soldier. So this, and I guess so, might be a few spoilers, but I'll try to keep the major ones out of it. So this basically starts off Captain and Romanoff. And the guys are in Lagos, trying to protect a bad guy from getting a biological weapon. And in the course of protecting us, they accidentally kill a bunch of civilians, Wakandan relief workers. And this kind of sets off, along with the events of, you know, Age of Ultron, where they basically destroyed Sokovia, that city, kind of prompts the international community to say, okay, there needs to be some type of oversight. They're kind of, you know, operating, you know, in sovereign nations with any type of, you know, input from the rest of the world. So this causes a rift in the Avengers. And it's basically half of the guys want to sign this accord that says that they will there'll be like a United Nations type of panel kind of saying where they can go and where they can't go. And half of the guys say, you're crazy. We need to be able to make those decisions for ourselves. Politicians have ulterior motives. So the Cap is on the we're not signing side, and Iron Man is kind of leading the we need some type of oversight side. So while in Vienna, when they're getting ready to sign these accords, a bomb goes off, and it looks like Bucky, the Cap's friend, set off a bomb to interrupt the accords, and this is when we're introduced to Black Panther, T'Challa.
Yeah, I was going to say, drum roll, please.
Yeah. His father is killed. And so this starts, this kind of just reinforces the rift that was already there between the Avengers, specifically Iron Man and Captain America, because the Cap wants to protect his friend, who knows that sometimes he's not acting out of his own free will. He's been messed with. And Iron Man, who's like, listen, man, we're getting out of hand. We need we need some people with some distance to, you know, kind of keep us in check. So we have that rift deepening, and then we enter a bad guy who's basically the main baddie, and that is Zemo, played by Daniel Brühl. And his intention, we're not sure. Like, we see him, he you know, he's definitely up to something. We're not exactly sure what's going on, but he eventually gets Captain America and Iron Man and Bucky out into Siberia for one big final reveal, and then the ultimate showdown happens there. And we're basically left, the Avengers are split. By the end of the movie, the Cap and Bucky are in Wakanda with T'Challa, and Iron Man and Vision and his crew are back at the Avengers compound. So it's a very detailed story.
Yes.
There's a lot
very
going
detailed.
On
here. A lot going on. A lot going on. Yes. There's a lot going on. I don't even know if I want to waste time talking about feelings going into the film. Because, listen, really, really, really quickly, I'm just going to state this. People can be mad at me if they want to. You can email, tweet at us. Here's what I feel, what I felt about this movie. This, to me, the only thing this was an answer to or a continuation of how good Marvel has been doing in terms of their movies and how poorly, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. People can be upset. DC has been doing. Now, we all know that there was a film that came out a little bit earlier this year, and some of the premise, you know, it was very similar. It was looking at, you know, the results of what happens when you have a bunch of super beings running around the planet trying to save people, but then there are repercussions. And so that film, you know, and then what happens, you know, the superheroes don't necessarily come together. It might cause a rift. And so we had these two films kind of sort of trying to tackle these same issues, but I feel like they do them in very, very different ways. So that's, in a nutshell, that's all I cared about this film. It wasn't about, you know, I had anticipation for this for any other reason except for that, to be quite honest. Elise, did you feel the same? Or did you, were you really looking forward to, I mean,
I wasn't really looking forward to this. I'm not a big Captain America fan. I mean, I'll say this. His movies, I feel, have been the strongest in the Marvel universe.
Absolutely.
So I was like, it's going to be good. Like, I didn't have any doubts, but I wasn't like, I can't freaking wait. This is going to be awesome. I was just like, yeah, it's going to be good.
And that right there, I'm going to try and use as a stepping off point to get us into this review. You know, Captain America, because I was thinking about the review yesterday, what we were going to talk about. Captain America, for me, like you said, has really been the strongest, I think, of all of the Marvel films that we've seen in terms of writing, in terms of story development, and really in terms of, like, the fact that they've been able to completely turn my mind around about a character who initially I could have cared less about. I didn't care about Captain America. I saw the first Captain America film. I went in there because I think I had nothing else to do that weekend. I was like, okay, I'll go check this out. You know, and I came out floored, quite honestly, because of the fact that they actually made me care. I actually knew what was going on. I liked the way that they were able to make a character who, you know, for this new generation, we talk about this new generation of, like, you have to, you know, show your superheroes a little bit differently. You can't do the same old, you know, we've come up in a world where we're a lot more cynical. We have, and the reason for that, I think, is, you know, we have access to information a lot faster, you know, sort of like the whole, like, starry eyed sort of Hollywood, everything's cotton candy has sort of dissolved in the 21st century. And so you've got to show us characters that are not just, you know, cookie cutter. And they were able to do that with a character that I previously could have cared less about. Now, that's not to say that the first Iron Man film, because that was the first, I believe that was, that came out before Captain America.
I think so.
That first was fantastic. That was awesome. I mean, also, I didn't care about Iron Man. Didn't know Iron Man. Didn't care. Did not care. But that casting was brilliant. Nobody will deny Robert Downey Jr. Right. But his, those films, subsequent films, have not really been that strong. Thor, you know, has been fun. But really, Captain America. And I say all that to just lead up into this to say that we're talking about and we're dealing with films that seem to really want us to understand the characters. They want to develop them in a way so that we know what we're dealing with. So that by the time we get to something like this, where it's showing us like a big smorgasbord. I mean, there's so many characters in this. We should probably run down and like lay out for people that don't know who is who and on what side. By the time we get to this portion, you care. You are invested. Things make sense. You know, you're not just throwing people in a film just for the hell of it, you know, because you can, and we're supposed to care about it. You know, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. If you're going to show us a film that has more than one superhero in it, okay, we have to be invested and we have to understand where each of those people are coming from before we get to the big SmackDown showdown. Because if they had done this film first, for example, let's say they led with this. Like we hadn't seen an Iron Man, we hadn't seen a Captain America, we hadn't seen a Thor, we hadn't seen Avengers. They just started with this. I don't think it would have been as good.
It wouldn't have worked as well.
It wouldn't have worked. Because I wouldn't have known what the hell was happening. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have cared. Okay? You got
it. It still would have been a good movie, but it just wouldn't have been as impactful.
Impactful.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, I like that statement that you just made. Okay, you just said that this film still would have been good, but it wouldn't have been impactful. Let's talk about why. Because this is what makes this film like exceeds average, okay? Because you just said that even if we hadn't seen these background stories and this character development, that it would still be a good movie. Tell us why, Elise. Tell us why. Let's break it down. Starting with, why don't we start with just the story?
Right.
The story in general. What happened? What made this a good film? Even you said without having known and being attached to these characters, Elise, please.
Yeah, I mean the writing was just really, really good and effective, and it's not easy to get all of these working parts to set up the story effectively, like. This is the first layer of the conflict, and then this ups it, and then this is upping it, and then like boom, you know, the third act, the climax, you're like, damn, you're really invested, you really understand why there's such a conflict and a rift there, even though they're good friends, you know, they're a team.
Yes.
And it's just the previous movies had set up this idea that they were lying to each other and their friends so well that it just made the rift that much more shocking. And it was just, I mean, I just think it was written really well. Like knowing, and I don't know, I guess I'd have to read the script to know, just knowing like which character should be seen next after this scene, you know, who should get this line. Just everything was very well balanced. You know, it was definitely the Cap's movie, but it was a good ensemble piece too. Like everybody got their moment of like, what?
you know?
And it was fun. It wasn't too heavy-handed. And I mean, that's, you know, that people have said that, of course, you know, about Marvel, that's kind of inherent in the comic, in the source material, you know, Marvel just isn't as dark as DC, but it just worked. The writing just was really phenomenal. Like it was just
phenomenal.
On point.
And I like what you said, and I think that's really what I want to emphasize. You said the way that they introduced the first layer of conflict, then the second layer, and then the third, and it built, like they laid it out really well so that, because it's a very, you know, complex thing that's going on. It wasn't like it was a simple simple thing was happening. Right. There was lots of layers and political intrigue and complexities and things that they were able to present in a way that made sense. Like, you mm-hmm. were like,
yeah.
you, I wasn't ever at any point like, wait, what? Why did he do that? Why are we looking at this? Like, that never happened.
Right.
And nothing to me never not made sense. Like, characters weren't just doing things that they're not supposed to do. You know, like, Captain America all of a sudden couldn't fly, you know, or, you know, I, like, my tone of voice is changing because I'm really still irritated by Batman shooting people. But, like, yeah. And they were able to show a complex film, have you be able to follow it. It makes sense. It was deep, you know, but it was also fun. Lots and lots. You also mentioned being well-balanced. Yeah. Very well-balanced. And, you know, and that was the thing that I think I had a couple of people, you know, you read articles with people that reflect on what DC has been doing, what Marvel's been doing, and also talking to people. I honestly, I didn't realize how important having that balance was. Like, people, even in the theater yesterday, there were so many moments, like, you could tell that people were genuinely enjoying the film. There was laughter. And,
yeah.
Versus, you know, that other film that came out, it was just, I feel like there was just dead silence. I think there were people sighing and, like, I know I was sucking my teeth and rolling my eyes. That was not what was happening in this film. People were engaged. Yeah. They were having a good time. And you talk about it being, like, just a great ensemble piece. Everybody, they hit the right notes. Everybody had their moment to shine. You know, and even with all of the characters that were in play that we've already seen, they were also able to intro new characters. I mean,
yeah.
That's massive. Can we just run down really quickly of how many freaking characters there were in this? So there's obviously, there's Captain America and there's Iron Man, right? Then you have your Black Widow. You have your Winter Soldier. You have the Falcon. Mm-hmm. You have Rhodey, the War Machine. You got Vision. You got Scarlet Witch. Then, oh, you got Ant-Man. Then they intro freaking Black Panther. They intro a new Spider-Man who, to me, that was really, I know there's been a lot of people who have said, they've said that the Black Panther intro was phenomenal. Spider-Man intro was phenomenal. I mean, you talk about the difficulty level of this, Elise, when you said really difficult to, you know, write all these complex characters and have them have their moments to shine. But then on top of that, the intro, two new vital, huge characters to this whole Marvel universe, and they did it in a way where you're looking forward to not only seeing the continuation of this whole thing, but seeing the shoot-off from these two characters. I mean, I didn't think I would really ever be open to another Spider-Man after Tobey Maguire. And I know that you don't really care about Spider-Man. But for me, those first two Spider-Man films were great. Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man. I don't see no more Spider-Man, okay? And the other two films they've done have not been good. But this intro of this new Spider-Man, I'm ready to go see this kid's film. I'm ready to go see it. It was so...
He was great.
So great. I cannot stress enough how great the intro of that Spider-Man was and Black Panther. My God. We're actually going to see a superhero film. And the superhero is a black man.
Yep.
And he's starring in it. I mean, we haven't seen that since freaking Blade, which... like, I'm beside myself. But I'm digressing. So the writing is really what shines in this. That's at the heart of this thing.
Yeah.
A little bit about the performances Clearly, you feel like, what? You're sighing. Tell me
because
what you...
Because it was so good.
Oh, okay. Tell me who stood out for you. I mean, there were so many people. Nobody... You tell me. What are you calling?
Yeah. Well, Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa / Black Panther nailed it. Like, knocked it out of the park. Perfect. And then I like Vision. I like Paul Bettany. I liked him as Jarvis. I like him just in other stuff he does. And I just think Vision is the coolest character ever. He's like, he's reasoned. He's logical. He's like Spock, but a superhero.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed Vision and then Black Panther.
Okay.
And of course, Cap. I mean, Chris Evans is doing a really good job. I really like you said, I was like, Captain America, come on, super white man, whatever. He's really likable.
He's likable. You know, and absolutely. Like, it's so... I cannot stress enough. I don't think I can stress enough how incredible it is that they were able to make a character that I literally could have cared less about. Just because... do we really need another super lily white man? Not really. We don't really need that.
Captain America, come on.
Captain America, like, the whole idea when you talk about, like, 21st century or the cynicism, you know, he's like everything, to me, I thought, embodied everything that I would just be, like, sucking my teeth at and rolling my eyes ever. Like, Captain America could go bleep, 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 right? But they were able to make a character and find an actor that actually I cared about. And he didn't, he somehow they were able to avoid the pitfalls that they so easily could have fallen into, you know. Somehow they were able to do it. It was interesting, he's complex, the way he plays it. I never feel like I want to, you know, raise my fist in protest, you know. Somehow they're able to do that. And so for me, I still enjoy watching him as Captain America. And then, of course, I became more of a fan of his when he did that small independent thing, Snowpiercer. I was just like, you know what? Chris Evans is everything. He's fabulous. I never would have expected that from him. And then I also really, really enjoy the whole Bucky storyline and that whole Winter Soldier thing. Really, really enjoy that a lot. It's just absolutely fantastic to watch them. And then I was kind of surprised by, we got to see, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but I really like... what's that chick? What's her character's name? I'm looking at it right now.
The Scarlet Witch.
The Scarlet Witch is no joke.
She was the real deal.
She is the real damn deal, okay? Please do not mess with this woman, all right? I really enjoyed that. We got to see more of her. I really don't think there was anybody in this film who didn't deliver. Was there anybody whose performance you were kind of like, they might have coulda. No, right?
No, yeah.
There was not even freaking Hawkeye. Hawkeye, who to me is really, I'm just going to say it, he's really my least favorite. Everybody, he's really my least favorite. And I felt like in this one, I even liked him more in this than I did in Age of Ultron. I actually did. It was fabulous. Just fabulous. Just fabulous. We've got 5 minutes left.
We
talked about the story. We've talked about the acting. What else can we mention?
We just need to mention the 30 seconds and maybe like the two lines that her name is Florence Kasumba. She played Black Panther's security chief. Like the 20 seconds that she was on the screen, she nailed it. Like, she needs her own damn movie, as far as
she
I'm concerned.
Please.
So
you mentioned her. Oh my god, people, especially Black Geeks. She was literally 20 seconds.
Twenty seconds.
Her presence. The way I want to see. Elise, can we start? Can you start writing?
Really?
Somebody, please. She needs to star in something. We have to make up a new character for her. Brand new. Let's not even look in comic books. We're just going to make up a new character. This chick needs her own movie. Oh my god, I'm so glad you mentioned her. 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I was nudging you.
Yeah.
What? Who is this? It was so phenomenal. Oh my god, it was so good. Okay, we got 3 minutes. Is there anything negative that we could say about this? Is there any... Yes, okay.
I have one thing to say, and I don't know if anybody can correct me. Maybe I missed it in all of, you know, what was going on. My only concern was the main band guide, Zemo, I just... didn't either I missed it or it was something that they left out. I'm not sure what happened. How did he even, I understand his motivation for wanting to get back at the Avengers. How did he know to start with Bucky? Why did he decide to go after Bucky? How did he know who Bucky's like the first man that he went to? How did he find that out? How did he, why was he specifically looking for information about that particular day?
Yeah.
That was the only thing I was like, did I miss something? Or were we just supposed to like go with it? So that was my only complaint. And I'm sure somebody could find a, I feel like it was in there and I just missed it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because when you asked me that, I was like, I don't know. I didn't really care.
Right, because the rest of the story is so well done, you don't...
Yeah, and it wasn't like... it was so clunky that you were left like, wait, what? Why? Huh? So, but that is a good point. That is a good point, because I don't really recall how he would know, like you said, to zero in on Bucky, to bring these guys... down and get them fighting against each other. I don't know. Is that the only sort of moment in the film that sort of left you questioning why?
Yeah. Everything else was, I mean, they just set it up. They laid it out so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, okay, we've got 1 minute left. I would say that there wasn't anything else that I could think of. I mean, I guess, like, really, really, if I'm going to be really, 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 really picky, sort of, like, the beginning moments of the film, and I understood that they were laying it out, but it just felt, like, a little slow to me. I was kind of just a little bit feeling, like, a little antsy, but it pays out.
Really?
Like, you understand why. Yeah, it seemed like when they started out, because you didn't know what the hell was happening yet. You didn't understand. Like, they were laying it out. I'm being, like, super, super picky. But we've got, like, 50 seconds left. We're not going to get it all in. let me just say quickly that we'll be back May 29th reviewing X-Men Apocalypse. Let me just say that, get that out of the way so people know. So now let's rate this. How many stars, Elise, would you give this? 0 to 5, 5 being the high mark and 0 being the low mark. What would you give this?
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3.5. And the reason it doesn't get 4 is for aesthetic reasons. And I don't even know if this is... All of the Marvel films are basically look the same. They have the same lighting, same feel. They're kind of, they're shot very similarly. So that's the reason I took away 0.5 for that. But the story, the acting, everything else, the action sequences, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
So 3.5.
Ridiculous. You know, we should have said this while we were on air, but like, again, the payoff, once we get to the final showdown, it's absolutely worth it. You understand every second of it. You get it. You're right there. And the fact that they did it in such a way where it's like, you know, these characters still actually like each other. Like, it's an actual conflict, you know, and seeing that play out and how that did. And it was just so great. It was just so worth it and so fun. And you weren't just like, okay, you know, whatever. It's interesting that you say that you took away points because you felt like it's shot the same way. I kind of feel like they did that because they wanted to tie it all together so that you're clear that it's part of this universe. So to me, I feel like that's, you know, unless you don't really like the way that looks, I feel like they've done that pointedly. So that you know, like, this is our universe. Because there's so much going on, right? There's so many moving parts. I feel like in order for it to be all cohesive, you know, that's part of the tactics. You know, not only do we constantly reference these other films and we have these other characters come into this film to make it cohesive, let's also shoot it, you know, similarly. So, like, it really does, it really feels like it's the same world. So for me, I'm going to give it a 3 stars. And I guess the only reason I wouldn't give it more stars is because I don't know why I wouldn't give it more stars. To be quite honest. But like, I'm giving it 3 stars and I'm just going to stick with it. That's what that's my gut is telling me. So 3 stars it is. And so on that note, we are done here. We're off the air, but I still like our end theme music. Again, like I said, we're going to be back on May 29th at the same time, barring any unforeseen anything. We'll be back at that time at 1:30. p.m. Pacific, that's 4:30 p.m. Eastern, right, Elise? With X-Men Apocalypse. So until then, thank you for listening, those of you that continue to listen, and we will be back then. Elise, do you want to tell folks where they can write us or reach us if they want to comment?
Head us up on Twitter. It's Black BLK Movie Talk. Black Geek Movie Talk. BLK Geek Movie TLK. BLK Geek Movie TLK. And then Facebook, it's just Black Geek Movie Talk. Facebook.com/ Black Geek Movie Talk.
Okay. And so until then, we'll be back. Have a great Mother's Day, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Love you, Mom.